is the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome to another Monday. And thank all of you for those that sent nice messages about 29 Palms.
Well,
yes, I did get a feel.
I mean, there wasn't anything really wrong with the singing, Margaret.
No, there wasn't anything wrong with the singing, but I've got a lot of you. I walk out of the studio. You might as well know, ladies and gentlemen, there's some days I walk out of the studio ready to blow my brains clear out of the back of my head.
Oh, Miss Gray.
No, I am, and thank you all for the nice notes that I get. And it figuratively puts the back of my head back, well...
Yeah, okay.
Phil, you know what? I'm not the only one that can be graphic. I can be graphic. You're not the only one that can be graphic.
You're Margaret Gray.
Yeah.
All right, so slow it down, Margaret, because nothing you've said thus far has made any sense.
All right.
I beg...
No. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
General Galen Shaw here, and...
Nice to see you, General Robert.
Yeah.
Welcome to our Monday here, man. We've had a great weekend. I watched some of the soccer.
You watched what is called world football, is what you watched.
Yeah, well, that's what they're calling it now, right?
World football, yes. I did, and I watched the Manchester City...
Now, I mean, Mr. Everett, you know, I know it's kind of cool and everything, you know, say that you like soccer, you know.
Yeah, but what we're very concerned about is that you're all, yeah, you know.
I think there is something to be said there.
About what?
You're all like, hey, you know, I watched Manchester City. Who gives a excuse me?
General.
All right, but I mean, who really cares?
Listen to this, folks. Phil's already caught. He went...
Wait. I'm not caught.
Well, I think we've got you in a little bit of a trap here because you're trying to be all Euro.
No, I'm not. Let me explain my affection for the fine game here of world football, as we call it.
What talk that for?
So, because football, American football, is football, and they call it football, but we call it soccer, and they don't want to call it soccer.
Well, who cares what they want? We call it suck. Whatever happened to the American that didn't give a sweet hot damn what anybody thought?
Well, that part I'm glad is gone. As a liberal, of course...
Oh, Miss Gray!
Wait. I will say this. I watched the game for this reason and this reason only. First of all, it's now available to watch in the United States. And secondly, I like the relationship these teams have with their fans. I like the fact that the fans are very, very active. The fans are very pivotal. And they're very much, General, they're you can't make a move without these people.
Well, my understanding is, yes, they do have these fan unions.
They have fan unions? What is that about? Are you kidding?
No, I have fan union or anything, but you can't do nothing without a supporter.
Yeah, the supporters are really big.
Oh, really? Well, supporters are big over here, too, although they happen to support something a little bit more significant, if you know what I mean. What a bunch of...
Well...
I'm Margaret Gray. Go yay.
I don't want to go yay! Yay!
So you didn't think that was funny at all?
No, we didn't think it was funny. You're talking about a couple of guys... Well, it's, the first thing that comes into your mind is a guy's testicles, huh?
Are they all dangling over your face? I'm sorry.
You forgot.
Ow. Damn it, my dear.
I can't help you, bud, when you go that graphic, man.
Dangling over my face. God. So, in other words, what we can't get enough of teabagging around here with the regular right-wing sludge that we have to talk. And we do have some of that today, don't we?
No, we've got a little bit of a Donald Trump discussion. But I wouldn't call it a daily dose of right-wing sludge.
Well, that's the teabagging that if I've got to be some...
Yeah?
Nothing.
All right, so...
Let the record show he's the one that said it.
The record shows that, Margaret. We don't have to keep beating it into the ground and dragging it out and making it a focal point and a center point of the show today. Because that's what it's developing into.
Now, how do you figure that?
Because all he said was, what were they dangling over your face? And now you got teabagging, you got Trump, you don't want it to become a center point.
Phil, would you take a breath? Did you see this, General?
Yeah, Phil, you're all in a heap over there.
I'm trying to get the show moving forward. Welcome, folks, to our show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, on the traffic line right now. Bob Bacon with the traffic, Bob.
All right, Phil, wait a minute. I got a holler, Bob, but a holler, but via a holler, gear. and I went down the front and went right down my front. So don't ever have one of those. I'll tell you something right now, if you have any Jewish friends, they offer that for breakfast. Don't have it because it went right down my front, and it's resting right down there right now. Speaking of a couple of them dangling over your nose. Out here on the 405 freeway, we let down the headphone brake. There's a friendly man down there, jumps on, and his name is Tom, and I tell you what, right now, his car's on road. If we get the CHP out there, the police or anybody out there, just beat this man over the head with a nightstick because he looked pretty good laying there on the cement. Up here on the 405 there, there's the Portland Plowman, and below the Foothill Freeway Court, there's a corn pod, there's corn pasture out there, and there's corn on the cob, and if you get yourself some popcorn, too, it's going to do pretty good. Bob Bacon right here, well, I'm with the driving. And this is Harvey Wireman, and welcome to Harvey Wireman's News. Well, the news that we have for you has to do with the Jakarta.
Jakarta?
Yeah, Jakarta, Indonesian. Indonesian Siaker Believ, they have Lakata Debris from an Iriliner.
They've believed they've located debris.
Whoa, sunshine, let me just finish it. Indonesian.
How much longer, Harvey, is it going to take you to get through this sentence?
Hey. I'm doing the news, right? Isn't that the agreement?
Yes.
Because David Hall interceded and he said, I get to do it.
Yes.
Yes. God, what a baby.
Just go ahead, Wireman.
So, debris from an airliner. What's an airliner?
Airliner
that crashed in a mountainous area with 5'4 people. People? I thought I had that for breakfast.
People!
Oh, ooh. A Cirque Plane spotted the Rakage Monday. Well, this is about a plane that crashed, right?
Yeah, it's an Indonesian plane.
Right. But a ground time hasn't yet been able to react it. Saeed Raymond Constantine. How about that? So there's another airplane that, well, what are you going to do? All right, Phil, this is Harvey Wireman with Newsbreak.
Wait, what about your commentary?
Don't have time, got to get on to still get that proctology appointment, right?
And I don't have...
Don't worry, I'll drive. I got a proctology appointment, and I'm going to drive, okay? So, yeah. Sorry, Phil, I didn't have enough time for it, you know.
Look, would you slow down?
What do you mean slow down? I am on my way to a proctology apartment, appointment, and nothing's going to stop me. Unless, of course, a police officer happens to be somewhere. Ooh, listen to that. Sounds like a police officer right now.
Dr. Robert Freeman?
Yeah, I'm sorry, officer. I didn't know that I was going really fast. Maybe I took my eye, I guess, off of the, speedometer.
I'm standing by.
Hey, would you lean in here a little bit closer, officer? Because I think there's something there on your collar. And I, hey, what are you trying to do? Yeah. What I thought it was.
What are you trying to pull anyway?
It's Lloyd Bonafide, Phil. That's the cop.
What?
Lloyd Bonafide.
Hey, let me tell you what, okay? So you forced me into it, huh? I've been ignored, I've been marginalized, and I've not been allowed to talk to you dirty.
I knew it. I knew there was something I knew about your voice, especially when you went,
Oh! So now you think I sound like some kind of a fairy, huh? Some turkey that's missing a couple of nuts, huh?
Wait a minute. You're Lloyd Bonafide, huh?
Yeah, that's right. And you're the guy that's trying to actually take my place. Well, buddy...
Look, and I don't know anything about that. All I know, I was hired to be on this show.
You, General Shaw, taking the place of Lloyd Bonafide, this will not stand. I can assure you, there'll be much more to be said on this.
Well, how about that, Phil?
Wow.
Oh, that's that Lloyd Bonafide, huh?
I was stunned. I couldn't believe that.
I knew it. I knew it was that Bonafide. There was something about the way he went... Okay, so, and you know what? Don't worry about it, Lloyd, if you're listening right now, because I can tell you I have not been, I haven't been to the park. Oh, will you knock it off?
What the f...
You have to watch your language, Phil.
Watch my leg. What was that all about?
I don't know.
I have no idea. All I know is it sounds to me like some kind of an effort on a part of Lloyd Bonafing. Lloyd Bonafide to reassert himself and to re-insinuate and to re... Well,
don't say reinsert.
I didn't say it. It said reassert.
Lloyd Bonafide.
Now, let me just ask you a question here. This guy Bonafide is a Korean War veteran, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
So he's a good deal. That guy sounds exactly like me.
Well, this is the problem, General. There's an awful lot of people that enjoyed having Lloyd on the show. His name has been brought up.
Oh, talk about being marginalized. So they're trying to push me out, huh?
No one's trying to push you out. This is entirely my fault. I'm the guy that did this.
What do you mean, Miss Everett?
I'm the guy that did it. I'm the guy that somehow, some way, in some way, shape, or form, in some form, in some manner, I was the guy that messed up. There I was. One day, I was thinking of a character named General Galen Shaw. He would be a very button-down guy. There would be nothing befuddled about him at all. He'd be buttoned down, he'd be a military expert, much like the ones you see on Fox News and CNN. He would perfectly complement a character like Lloyd Bonafide. Then all of a sudden, as the show evolved into a podcast, and I decided to have in-studio characters as well as ones on the phone, General Shaw seemed to be a logical guy to have in the studio, and the button-down personality of General Shaw, especially early in the morning when we used to do the show, that wasn't going to work. He had to somehow come apart at the seams a little bit. He had to be grouchy. He had to be, as we like to say, old man angry. Well, with the quality of voice that General Shaw had, it was only natural for him to morph into a Lloyd-style character, even though his history... His life, in fact, was totally different from Lloyd Bonafide's. So Lloyd Bonafide, a character beloved by many, a guy who was born of my experiences with Korean War veterans as a kid, who lived on my street, guys that were friends with my dad, Lloyd Bonafide, the real deal, suddenly was, well, marginalized.
And so that's why I'm out here as a cop. You got me chasing Harvey Wireman around. And going, Jesus H. Christ.
He sounds just like me.
Yes, he does. I'm going to have to find a way to work this out. How? I don't know. When? I don't know. Who? I don't know. Whither goest me in the American night?
Thank you, Allen Ginsberg.
Thank you.
World famous Phil Henry show. Wow. Sheesh. Wow, man. Well, I've got to be back in just a moment here on the world famous Phil Henry show, you know.
Yeah, thank you, bud.
I'll be right back on the world famous Phil Henry show.
We'll be right back on the world famous.
We'll be right back.
Well, the world famous Phil Henry show want to remind you to get your BSP Backstage Pass subscription, man, because next week, man, we're giving away the Phil Henry action figure. Here he is right here doing kind of a little high looping ballet thing. Man,
I do that.
Well, I sure hell didn't put it like that.
Every day we come in here and this little action doll is in more of a ballerina pose than ever before. It is more light. It is more lilting. The pants might as well be shoved right down over the ankles.
World famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass gets you access to one of the great, well, we think, one of the great podcasts of all time. It also gives you access to one of the great radio shows of all time. 20,000 plus hours of audio. We've got our video cast archives, too. We've got other miscellany as well, early podcasts. We have the game room where you can go in and play Hendroids and watch Margaret singing Downtown.
Oh, my God.
Yep. You can also check out our TV pilots and animated pilots and all kinds of shit, man.
At PhilHenryShow.com. I'm Lloyd Bona. I'm kidding.
He's General Galen Shaw.
Oh, really?
Yeah!
It's a cool song, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a stick figure.
That's what?
Stick figure. Choice is yours.
It's a cool song. Choice is yours, stick figure. Featuring Slightly Stupid. Yeah.
the hell are you talking about?
That's, I swear to God, it's featuring Slightly Stupid. All right, folks, back on the show.
Well, that little bit of poetry, that poetic interlude that you did there, Phil, it was all very nice, it was all very lush, it was all very creative. But it doesn't answer the question.
That's right, Phil.
Excuse me, I've got this, General. It doesn't answer the question, what happens to Lloyd Bonafide?
I don't know.
What happens to me is a better question.
You're not going anywhere. Lloyd's not going to go anywhere. I have to find a way somehow to integrate you guys because people miss Lloyd. But if people have...
Oh, thank you very much. Do I have a fan base at all?
Yeah, you got a lot of people like you, General.
A lot of people like you, General. Our new listeners love you. And a lot of the new listeners don't know about Lloyd. So,
well, that's a break. God damn it. You get gas and so do I.
Yeah.
That's a break for me.
Well, it is. So we're going to... We're gonna have to work on that one, man. But in the meantime, and in between time, baby, I wanted to get on the phone here, our good friend Art Griego, because as you heard Harvey Wireman, and Art, I know that you are most likely in dealing with your day-to-day job, which is loading cargo and operating your cargo freight business. Is that what you're still doing?
Phil, I have this freight business ever since I retired. You know, we've been doing this here from Santa Monica Airport, and I got another load going out today. Yeah, my wife is Patsy.
My wife's name is Patsy, too.
Oh, no, that's not my wife. That's one of the guys that works. His name's Patsy Ort. He's an Irishman. My wife's name is Rebecca.
You got a guy there named Patsy, huh?
Yeah, an Irish guy. How you doing, Pat? Well, fine. So anyway, Phil, you know, yeah, business is great, but it's always relaxing to stop down and talk about a, well, I shouldn't say talk about it.
You're not talking about, it's relaxing to talk about a plane crash?
No, I was going to correct myself. No, it is not relaxing to talk about a plane crash.
Could you?
You snorted a little bit. It bothers Margaret.
I beg your pardon?
You went like this. You went... Could you,
Oh, excuse me, but I'm in the middle of a very, very dusty hangar, and there's all kinds of freight that's going by my nose here, so some of it doesn't smell too good.
Well, what are you shipping?
What we're shipping is furniture. Some of the stuff we've got here is just knickknacks. None of your business.
None of our business, huh?
Hey, Phil, what is this?
All right, they're just screwing around. Art, we want to ask you about this latest plane that went down, Indonesian plane. In Jakarta. Well, the news is out of Jakarta. It is an aircraft that has gone down in a mountainous area with 54 people on board. We certainly don't think anything about this is the least bit, shall we say, amusing for the morning coffee.
I would hope not, Phil.
Why would you say that?
I just want to make sure that no one is thinking that.
Well, I'm familiar with the story. I don't know if the rest of the people listening are.
Just to give them because Harvey tried to read it and he carved it a new ass, which is not unusual.
Well, you know, I've been telling you about that for a long time, Phil. Not that I'm a radio broadcaster, I know, but I called you 2 months ago and I said, Harvey's carving it an ass. And I could hear somebody in the background going, ha, ha, ha.
Yes, that was me. I know you were on the phone with Phil. I was laughing.
Why is that?
Because, Art, you're not a news person. You're not a broadcaster at all. You don't know what you're talking about.
And yet I was right when I said Harvey was carving it up.
I would not say that you're right, no.
The jury's still out.
The jury's still out, huh? Hey, did you hear? The Lindbergh baby, the jury's still out.
What?
What's that mean?
Forget it.
So anyway, about Indonesia.
Yeah, about Indonesia. It's a country. No, it's
the Indonesian Airlines, I mean.
Yeah, the Indonesian is. There's a search plane that has spotted wreckage on Monday. Look, here's the thing about that part of the world. I don't know. I don't think anybody is saying that there's a Bermuda Triangle. I've given up on that. If the plane had gone missing, I might have had half a chance. But you know, you can kiss that one goodbye. I've taken my theories about the Bermuda Triangle, Phil, and I have kissed them, figuratively, of course, on their ass. On my theories, if they had an ass, I've kissed them on the ass, and I've kicked them out of a figurative airplane, because all they've done is embarrass me.
All right, so we don't have to consider this plane as having gone down in any kind of a Bermuda Triangle.
No, I should say not, but had we not been able to find the wreckage, then I would have figuratively parachuted out of that figurative plane and scooped up my assumptions and beliefs and unkissed that ass.
What are you talking about, man? It's the goofiest thing I ever heard.
Excuse me.
No, Bud's right. It's just keep it in the realm of reality.
What I'm saying is, I had a shot booked
You know, we're not really interested here, Art, in you resurrecting your views on Bermuda Triangles or extra-dimensional disappearances. We want to know the facts, and the facts are all that are warranted here.
Well...
The facts are all that are warranted here. On this particular, what is it?
It's a plane crash.
I'm sorry, on this particular plane crash...
Oh, well, all right. Your Royal Highness, I...
And being a smartass isn't going to get you anywhere.
Look, would you just let the man talk?
Thank you. The 54 people... Look, here's the thing about that part of the world. It's very lush. It's got thick vegetation. There is very thick underbrush. There's trees, there's swamps, there's all kinds of thick and dense and deeply wooded areas. I mean, it's the kind of an area that you don't want to get lost in. You'll never find your way out of it. I don't think, Phil, that it's a stretch in saying that there are probably aircraft that have gone down in this part of the world before that no one's seen hide nor hair of again. I bet you these things, you know, if you want to know where Amelia Earhart is, I mean, but they ought to start looking through some of this.
Well, Amelia Earhart, I mean, as long as you bring her up, wasn't she, I mean, they knew she was in the Pacific.
Oh, if they knew she was in the Pacific, maybe they knew she was in the Pacific. I mean, they say that Amelia Earhart, what I'm trying to tell you is maybe she was, I don't know. But here's the thing. You know, any plane that went down in this area, or any plane that they just lost track of and don't know where it went down, you might start checking in these jungles because, Jack, you'll be lost in there forever. They'll never find you.
Well, I know that in Vietnam, they found jets.
That's exactly right. In the Vietnamese highlands, they have found years later downed aircraft, both American, Vietnamese, and so forth. So I would say they're very lucky that they found this aircraft. The second search plane has been dispatched to verify the debris. The debris. Now this area is called Papu.
Papa, are you guys not able to read?
What do you mean, you guys?
Well, you sound just like Harvey Wireman.
No, I'm not a dude. He's the newsman. I'm not. If anybody gets the Miss America, not a Miss America.
Misspeak.
Yeah, misspeak. I do.
Okay, well, that's fine, but let's just not make it a habit because you think you have the right.
Look, if I have the right, why don't I just go ahead and do it? You know.
What right do you have?
I'm not a newsman, so I can put your word.
Okay, calm it down. We got a lot of people screaming around here.
You're right, Phil.
A lot of people screaming around here. Now, calm it down, Art.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot of people have been screaming lately.
Shut up, bud. I got it.
No, a lot of people...
I got it.
All right, I'm sorry. Just, I was... Excuse me. Like I was saying, it's a very dense and thick...
Don't make a joke, okay, Griego? You're bombing.
I was going to say, if this jungle were Bud's head, well...
I get it. Bud's dense.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If this jungle was your sobriety, man, they'd never get out of there.
How dare you?
All right, both of you assholes, stop. So the Indonesian plane that went down, I assume they're going to be doing some sort of a safety investigation on this. Tell me a little bit, Art, if you could, about being in trouble as a pilot. What are the things you're taught to look for? What are the things that you are taught to, what are the things you're taught to affect and try to do?
Well, it depends on the training of the pilot, Phil. Many pilots are trained militarily. And some pilots are trained as civilian pilots. Some people don't think there's a difference. There's a big difference. A military pilot is trained to get the mission accomplished. A civilian pilot is trained for safety first. Even if you've got a military pilot who's in charge of a civilian aircraft, that guy is going to be thinking, I've got to accomplish the mission. Not always, but some guys just fall back into that training. So you've got, excuse me for saying, Phil, you may have 30, 40, 50 people hanging on for dear life. Excuse me for saying this, hanging onto their asses, and there's a fire in the back of the plane, and there's nothing but just yellow flame and smoke, black smoke pouring from the back of the plane, and people are screaming, put it down anywhere, but get it out of the air, get it on the ground, I gotta get off this plane, my ass is on fire, you know, I mean,
Yes, we understand.
All right, General, you're a military guy. And meanwhile, the guy in the cockpit's going, no, the mission is to get it to such and such airport, I'm flying this, you know.
So this guy thinks that he's in some kind of a war.
Well, Well, no, but he's just saying, all you people hang on, because if the mission says I get it to Feng Chau Airport or whatever the hell they got down there, that's where it's going.
So in other words, even if he knows that people are at risk.
No, not that. But, I mean, that's kind of the mindset. Now, if it's a civilian pilot, and there's black smoke pouring out of the back of that thing, and people are jumping up and down, and their asses are on fire, and they're sitting in tubs of water, you're saying, okay, I'm going straight down. I'll crash it first to get everybody out of their misery. And
what the hell are you talking about? You crash it first.
In other words, what I'm saying, if I'm a pilot, and I got the difference between the plane burning up or me crashing it into a mountain and, you know, putting everybody out of their misery, well, what do you think I'm going to choose?
How about what the question that I asked you, which is, what is the safety measure you would take? How do you safely put the plane down?
Safely put the plane down. Get a look. Hey, there's a guy on the phone.
Hey, talk to me, will you, Art?
Oh, sorry. I mean, if the plane is in dire straits, and there's no chance of it getting anywhere near, say, the Kinks.
Jesus Christ.
You know what, Art? We,
Oh, come on.
Okay, we don't have time for your cheap, lowbrow gags, okay? What do you think this is? The Ted Back original Jackass Hour? We're trying to find out about a plane.
All right, fine. If you're in dire straits.
Yeah, and there's no Mark Knopfler around.
Then what you try to do is, yes, try and find the biggest, widest, flattest piece of ground around there and put it down, get out of the cockpit, throw the keys at somebody and say, I'm done with this rotten, stinking career. I'm going to go back to driving a cab. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shit.
All right, thanks a lot, Art.
Yeah.
Art Griego.
Well, that wasn't a very... You know, you have to work, Phil, on how to end these...
I was going to say, Phil, these interviews are ending more ragged than ever before.
Could be. I don't know. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Thank you, Art Griego. I think he made a very good point, though, about the difference between military pilots and civilian pilots. Military pilots are trained to get the job done. Civilian pilots are trained to be safe, you know.
Well, that's an indictment of a military pilot.
Let me tell you something, my friend. As a military man, and I've got civilians on board, I will look with all of my heart to get those people to safe ground. If they start opening their yaps and giving me a hard time, that's a different story entirely. I'm General Galen Shaw. Don't you ever look at me like that again.
Wow. So that's what you'd say to the
what?
I don't know.
I'm a god, get a whole squad a job, get them all paid. Came a long way from all state. Yeah. Now we
Bud Dickman here. Remember that the YouTube channel for the Phil Hendry Show is called The Real Bud Dickman Channel. So you go to youtube.com/ The Real Bud Dickman and check out the great videos that we do have there lined up for you, and you can see them. Now we're on our way to 10,000 subscribers. We want to get 10,000 subscribers, and no one can do anything about it. We're going to get 10,000 subscribers.
Okay, bud, don't put it like it's a threat, okay?
Well, we do want 10,000 subscribers too, and pardon my throat, ladies and gentlemen, this is Monday, and I cannot get warmed up enough. You know, I go to an awful lot of fundraisers, I go to an awful lot of cocktail parties. I went to 3 wine tastings this weekend, all for the Junior little, I think it was a disease. What was the disease, bud?
Junior diseases.
Yes, we went to a couple of fundraisers for the Junior Diseases Foundation. All diseases that affect just junior-sized people.
And children.
Yes, children, but children who are juniors. Now we are
American. Like Bobby Jr.?
I don't know, Phil, for God's sake.
Yep, send me out.
So anyway, my voice is a little ragged. I'm Margaret Gray.
Except that this is about the,
Yes, the Bud Dickman channel on YouTube.com.
No, we gotta get 10,000 subscribers.
Bud, can I just say something, Phil? It's not... You're saying it, bud, as if someone has permanently wired your jaw to a jackhammer. It's not 10,000... You know, you sound like a Hungarian or something, I don't know.
Man, I know my life. Just need a...
Phil Hendry Show.
The hell is this idiot?
God, Margaret, you sound like the general there.
I know.
Yeah, Margaret, what happened to you?
I don't know. I, like I said, I'm having a hard time this morning. Frank and I just were at so many things this weekend.
What'd you do, Miss Gray?
Well, as I said, we went to an awful lot of fundraisers.
Well, you know, I mean, this whole fundraiser thing...
Phil, don't do it.
No, wait a minute, because you know I was part of that world for a long time when I was married. I'm not knocking it.
Don't you dare, because an awful lot of good is done.
No, I know that. I know that a lot of good is done. I know that. But I'm trying to say a lot of these, but not you, but a lot of these people go to these fundraisers to be seen, you know.
Phil, they raise an awful lot of money for a lot of very, very good causes.
Good causes? You just talked to, what do you mean, good causes?
Yes, good causes. I don't know why I was saying clauses. I think it's because my husband's an attorney.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm just telling you, you go to enough of those things and you make nice and you go to these cocktail mixers, I get it. But you're going to, like I said, like you said, you're going to wreck your throat.
Well, it's worth it, Phil.
But you went to the Junior Disease Foundation.
We went to the Junior Disease, I don't know what it was called, bud. You had the paperwork.
It's for the 65, cystic sclerosis.
That was it, for cystic sclerosis.
You mean cystic fibrosis?
No. I said, multiple sclerosis.
Yes, that's it, multiple sclerosis.
Only it wasn't that. It was muscular dystrophy. That was it.
Okay, but so where was it?
Well, that's really none of your business. It was secret.
But there was a fundraiser for muscular dystrophy, it was secret?
Yes, more and more of these are secret because we don't want anyone breaking in and turning it into a Jerry Lewis telethon. Oh, give me a little...
What are you doing here? Practicing some stand-up?
It was a quality gag.
No, it was not. All right, our next guest... Folks, is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Was this the story that you found?
This is a fascinating story, and I want everyone to just listen to this. This was a Virginia woman that went missing. She vanished after sending very bizarre texts. She has been found safe. She went missing early this week. What do they mean, early this week? When is this story from? The 16th. And what's the date today, Phil?
The date today is the 16th.
Well, then that would mean she went missing,
Probably went missing last Monday.
Yeah, that... Well, today's early this week. It'd be early today.
No, today is not the 16th. Yesterday was the 16th.
That's right. So early this week would have been yesterday.
So she would have gone missing yesterday morning and was discovered yesterday.
Yes.
Well, what the hell is that supposed to be?
All right, never mind.
Yes, so this is a Virginia woman who went missing earlier this week... Because that's what it says here. After sending a bizarre text to her husband, she has been found safe. Captain Linda Tony with the Henrico Police would only say that Connie Ditto... How's that for a name, huh?
Yeah, Ditto.
Margaret.
Isn't that an interesting name?
Yes.
You do it.
Margaret, come on.
Connie Ditto was safe but would not elaborate on where or how she was found. I think we can probably guess. I'm Margaret Gray.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
No, what are you talking about, Ms. Gray?
I think we can probably guess.
Really? All right, well,
yes.
Really?
Phil, would you give me a little respect today? My God, I'm being disrespected all over the room, all over the shop, as they say in England.
No, we're not, Margaret. We're commenting. You're doing all kinds of weird stuff. You're scaring me.
Yeah, you scare me too. You're all doing jokes and everything.
What are you afraid of, bud?
Just you're being like you're a stand-up comedian or something.
I was trying out a couple of lines because we're going to a fundraiser.
How many of these fundraisers are you going to, for God's sake? You just write a bunch of fundraisers.
Well, I'm doing another one, all right? I may go to them to the end of time, for all I know. But I'm practicing some shtick, if you don't mind.
So you're going to be doing some stand-up?
Yes, Phil, some stand-up. I'm actually going to be hosting an auction. I will be the auctioneeress. Frank will be the auctioneer. So I'm doing a couple of cuties just to see.
All right, well, if you need some help.
From you? No, thank you.
Oh, boy, what a disrespectful thing that was.
Never mind then, Margaret. I won't ever offer you any help ever again.
Okay. Phil, don't cry. Don't get your underwear all up in a knot and then shoved right up your you-know-what. I just said I can handle it myself. If I need help, yes.
All right, let's quit whatever it is we're doing.
How about your career?
Yeah, let's put my career and let's do something else like lumberjacking. No, let's bring on Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay is joining us to talk about this very bizarre situation from the Citizens Auxiliary Police substation there in the South Bay. Jay, a very, very pleasant... good day to you. Very, very strange story, huh?
Phil, I think a lot of these stories are extremely strange when we take a look at how, you know, all this stuff rolls out. What we do know is, at this particular junction in the investigation, what we do know is Connie Ditto went missing from her home.
Do you know the timing on this, Jay?
When she went missing, let me just double check his story that you guys are looking at. that was on Monday. You guys are talking about on yesterday, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the story broke on Sunday.
Right. Well, the story, well, her being found was yesterday, Sunday. But actually, she went missing on Monday last week. So today's 17 minus 7, 2.
That'd be the 10th.
Hold on for just a minute. 17 minus 7 is what, Phil?
10.
So that'd be the 10th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So Bud said.
All right, so Bud said that.
Yes, so she went missing on the 10th, on Monday.
Well, let me double check to see if that was a Monday.
Yes, Jay, it was a Monday. It's right there. So she'd been gone a long time.
She had been gone a long time. Now, her husband, Mark Ditto, told WTVR on Thursday he'd been a nervous wreck after having not heard from his wife since Tuesday. Mark said no one had heard nor seen hide nor hair of his wife since Tuesday night when she checked into a medical facility after complaining of head pains. She said she was going to a walk-in facility. She was having headaches and dizziness. I said, where are you going to? Let me come get you. She said, no, I gotta go. And then, you know, she didn't say where. As far as my information goes. Now, I'm just checking my information, and as far as my information goes.
Now, you said something, I said something about knowing, I think we know what happened. Do you have the same information?
I do, Ms. Gray. At this time, it would now appear that she did, in fact, probably did be with a guy.
Now, where do you get that information?
Phil, I think it stands to reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, wait. What do you mean it stands to reason?
I think General, I don't want to tell you about women. Is that what you're trying to say? Hey, the general.
Hey, Jay, talk to us.
Sorry. But,
My question is the same as the general's. Where do you get that information?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, the lady goes missing, and then, you know, the lady.
Yeah, well, lady, you know what I'm missing, man?
So she went missing. What about it?
Phil, I think it stands to reason that,
Says here in the story that she, at around 8 o'clock when she was at work, she was seen. That was around 8 o'clock when she was at work when she said she needed to go see the doctor. She was seen on video at a medical facility 5 minutes away. She signed in at the desk. She sat down to wait, was there a couple of minutes, got up, walked out, and left.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. So, yeah.
No, I don't know.
Phil, it stands to reason that this was all a charade. A charade. It was a bit of a camouflage to cover her movements.
Oh, so you're saying that she was with a...
Yeah, what do we say? She with a guy.
Do you guys have any evidence of that?
I think it stands to reason.
Phil, it stands to reason.
No, it doesn't. Nothing stands to reason unless you have proof of that.
Well, Phil, here is. She signed in, and then she got up and walked out. Then when Mark started texting Connie, asking how she was, she replied in a text that she had to get an x-ray. I think they're going to do surgery. They transported me to the hospital. I lost vision in my right eye. Then a minute later, she said, I have to go. And then 5 minutes later, Mark, do not come. I do have injury very badly on my shoulder, too. Then, according to her husband, the phone was turned off. Her car wasn't in the parking lot. Give me a big, fat break.
Phil, now do you believe?
That, yes, I believe that she was obviously up to something. It doesn't say that she was with a man, okay?
Well, Phil, I think I'm going to be... I'm drifting over into their lane. And I only hope it's not oncoming traffic.
No, I can assure you, General, if you're drifting in... Hold on for a minute. Yeah. Hey, Feel of Feldman. All right, I got a hand on my leg again, so...
Hey, well, let me ask you something, Jay.
Hold on for a minute. I got someone... God damn, get your hand out of there, man.
I think you do it.
I got an alarm wired to my thigh, Phil, and...
Why do you have an alarm wired to your thigh?
In case someone tries to slip... To do a hand slippage...
So I'm talking about a guy slipping his hand up there?
Yeah.
Why would you have that?
I think it's a normal fear, don't you?
No, not really. Not in a police station or whatever you call that place you're at.
It's called a substation, General. Thank you very much. If we have a pervert coming in here or any level of perv who come in here, going to be booked in as evidence, and we'll book them in. Okay, you follow?
No, but go ahead.
All right, well, I mean...
Go ahead, Jay.
Now,
you don't have to go ahead. So if you have a pervert in there, you have an alarm wired to your thigh in case one of them tries to grope you. Is that it?
Yes, or does a slip in.
And what is a slip-in, God damn it?
A slip-in, General, if I'm wearing shorts on a hot summer day and a hand slips up the pant.
Yeah, and have you got underwear on? Just, that's none of my business, but I thought I'd ask.
No.
That's what I thought.
So, anyway, Phil.
So that, all right, enough about that alarm that just went off. So, all right,
Yeah, you know, it does sound kind of suspect.
Yeah, it does.
All right, so it sounds suspect. God, I'm trying to give the woman the benefit of the doubt.
Phil, try not to be so chivalrous and try to be a little bit more realistic, all right? If she's a slut, she's a slut. If she's a tramp, she's a tramp. And if she's a whore, then we all have to face that eventuality.
Now, Phil, I think if that was my wife, as much as this would hurt me to have to admit to it, and it hurt me to have to face it, but if I had to find out my wife's a whore, well, I got to find out my wife a whore. I tell you something, Phil, there are a lot of bad things in this world. I'd rather face up to the fact my wife a whore than not ever know my wife a whore. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah. Fine, Jay. Fine.
Well, I mean, you're being quiet like I'm sounding like I've got a developmental disability or something like that.
Oh, no, Jay. You don't sound like that at all.
Okay. Anyway.
Let me look at this story. After 4 minutes later, Ninth and Connie texted, Mark, do not come. I do have injury very badly on my shoulder, too. Then, according to her husband, her phone was turned off. At that point, we went to the medical facility, Mark said. I don't blame him at all.
Well, she said don't come. Why would he do that?
Because it's screwball behavior. You're wondering what the hell's wrong with your wife. Look, if she's sick or she's in it, most 99.999% of all couples, if one or the other is in any kind of pain or in any kind of problem, the other one wants to be there. What the hell are you talking about?
Wait, Phil. I don't know. If she said, Mark, don't come, I'm a big girl, I can handle this, and she decides that, you know what, I don't think I need brain surgery, and gets in her... What are you laughing at?
What are you talking about, don't need brain surgery?
Bud, why don't you...
Mark, break it up. Come on.
I'm making my point. If I go into the hospital and I say, Frank, don't come, they do have to operate on my brain, and then I hang up, and then I go, you know what, on second thought, and I decide to go down to the Shea Tray and have a drink. Oh, I see. So I sound like a lunatic, huh?
Yes, you do. You sound like a lunatic.
All right, let's talk, Phil. There's no reason for us to have...
All the things I've done for you...
You sound like a lunatic, Margaret, okay? Margaret, what are you, nuts or something?
It's a point of view.
All right, hold on for a minute. Then she says, at that point, the husband went to the medical facility. Okay, we all agreed on that?
Yeah, we're agreed on it, Jay. I don't know if we're agreed on it, so better cost a fast hour, babe.
What is wrong with you, man?
No, what's wrong, General? I'm saying it the way this knucklehead did.
All right, take it easy, General. Go on.
All right, so he went down to a medical facility. Mark checked every hospital in the area, but he says they didn't have a record for his wife. Police said this is an ongoing investigation, and additional information may be released soon.
All right, well...
I think she was with a man.
Ms. Gray!
No, she was with a man. And I think it was the clumsiest, most idiotic, and jackassic way to hide your movements.
Well, no, wait. What is it that she's trying to do? What is it that she's, if she wants to be with a man, don't you think you could come up with a better cover story? Like, hey, I'm going on vacation.
Well, you know, Phil, a lot of women are shadowed by their husbands so intently. A lot of women are shadowed by their husbands so often. They're not going to go on a vacation,
But you spit it out, goddammit, Sanders. The way you say the word on makes me want to commit homicide.
They're not going to want to let them go on a business trip or vacation without them. And I don't think being in law enforcement for as long as I have and on the front lines to save lives, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that she was creating a cover story in which she was able to, scoot out and get her ass out of there and go do what she had to do when she had to do it in her own way and in her own time.
Okay, Jay, thanks a lot, man. You know, it takes you like a day to say what normal people would say in about 5 minutes.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Jay Santos,
Well, what do you think?
I got to give it to Jay.
Well, you were mocking him.
Well, so were all of you. It is screwy. Every time I hear about someone who goes missing, you know, and they were found a few days later and they wanted to get away from it all and all that bullshit. I mean, sometimes it's true, but a lot of times it has to do with a liaison, shall we say.
Well, it's pretty sloppy, Mr. Ellis. Sloppy way of doing it.
Oh, it's a very sloppy way of doing it. But then there was also a lady, you know, and a lot of times they just want to get away. I mean, they just can't stand it any longer. They can't take it any longer. They got to get the hell out of wherever it is they are. Some people are just suffocated by their situation. So it's not always a guy or a woman, you know. And I got to tell you, I think you guys just assuming that. I think you're all wet. What do you think of that?
Well, oh, isn't that brave of you, Phil? Well, I'll tell you, I would love to believe the best of a lot of people. I would want to believe the best of you. I would want to believe the best about Bud. You know, that my experience has taught me, don't go there, Margaret. Don't go down the believe the best of people. Because what happens is, you wind up, excuse me, you're about three rungs below someone on a ladder, and they've stopped, they've bent a little bit, and cut one in your face. I'm Margaret Gray. What does that mean?
Well,
look at him laughing, General.
Phil, why are you being so childish?
What do you mean childish? So that's how you see the human race?
No, that's how I see some people.
Well, it's true, Miss Sammy. People tend to just, you know, I mean, betray you.
Okay, yeah, no, I don't doubt that, but the way you put it, you're two rungs.
You know, excuse me, I'm not here for your amusement. I'm not a clown. Do I look like the kind of a clown that's here to me? Do you want me to go Joe Pesci on you?
No, Margaret, no, I don't. We're going to be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, folks. We've got one more bit of news to get to. I don't know whether we'll be able to or not, but Ruben Ramon Escobar's... I haven't seen or talked to Ruben in years. Ruben Ramon Escobar from Miami to talk about Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's got him on the phone now.
Ruben was a guy that used to be on a show with us in Miami in our early days in L.A. We'll be right back.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California reminds you you can be on our email list and get all the latest news of the Phil Henry Show. Find out how to win that action figure. Find out about a planned HenryCon in Vegas in the spring. Oh, yeah. Find out about our ratings and our reviews on iTunes. Listen, get us a rating and a review on iTunes and make this show even greater, even more legendary, even deeper into the culture and deeper into the subconscious of man himself than it already is. God damn, I hate lying.
World famous Phil Henry Show's email list. Woo!
I'm Margaret Gray. I'm back.
Ruben Ramon, boy, I'll tell you what, Ruben has been a, if I was looking at you, Ruben, be a sight for sore eyes, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very good, and I appreciate the wonderful welcome.
And Ruben, you're in Miami?
We're in Miami. We're in Hialeah right now, as a matter of fact.
And you're at an auction there.
Well, we're at an auction at the old Hialeah racetrack. We're auctioning off some of the beautiful memorabilia from the racing history here in the Miami area. And I'm very proud to be a part of that.
Ruben, you know, you're a very, very well-known Miami community conservative, the Cuban community. And I know this is a very different community. When we talk about Hispanics, I shouldn't say you're not Hispanic, but you are a different...
There's a slight difference, Phil, because we consider ourselves to be Cuban, to be Latino or Latina. That is more European and a bit less of the Hispanic, Mesquite Indian, Spaniard mix. We feel that we're more pure blood. Of the Latin, pure blood.
All right, you're more pure-blooded European.
More pure-blooded European, yes.
Well, would it matter to you if you were considered to be Hispanic?
I would, no, it wouldn't matter, but it's a little bit of an insult. Only because of the fact that my people are historically European, from Castilian Spain, the Catalonian, you know, and for... you to say I'm Hispanic, now you see my ancestors were making a tortilla, you know, making with the dog meat. It doesn't set me free, you know.
All right, look, it's starting to get into an uncomfortable area.
No. Please don't misunderstand me. Many of my friends, Hispanic friends, come from a proud tradition of American Mesquite, of American Indian, and the mixing of the cultures of the Inca and the Mayan and the great Spanish conquistadores, you know. I think they're wonderful people. But for me, and only for me, Ruben Ramon Escobar, I am very, very proud Catalonian and Castilian, you know.
And say that again?
I said I'm a Catalonian Castilian, you know. You know that is, right?
Oh, yes, Catalonian and Castilian.
Yes.
All right. So Tell me about Donald Trump, and how do you feel about his immigration policy?
I think it's a great idea, but let me tell you something. And here's something that I've been talking to a great many of my people here in Miami and elsewhere. Donald Trump is going to, I believe, once he explains his immigration policy, which most recently now on the Meet the Press show, I saw him, he said that he wants to make it more expensive for these immigrant workers to come in and to get these visas. I applaud that. I want the native-born people to get these jobs, especially native-born immigrant, not native-born, but the legal immigrant people.
Well, that is what the argument is for the Republicans. I don't buy it.
Well, Margaret, I know you. I don't know you personally, but Phil tells me you're of a much more liberal stripe, and perhaps we can have that discussion at a later time. But let me say we're an area where I may agree with you, and that is that Donald Trump is going to have one hell of a time, one devil of a time, pushing all of this through Congress.
Right there, the man. Now, you just said something that I don't think anybody's been talking about.
It is true. It is true.
Well, why do you think he'd have a hard time getting something through a Republican Congress?
Hey, but let me say, even if it's a Republican Congress, these Republican, every elected representative is beholden to a constituency much more than he is to a president, especially a president that may be perceived as divisive. Now, I want to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt.
Would you, are you endorsing him right now?
Oh, well, hold on. Not yet. No, not yet. I still want to see Jeb Bush. I want to give Jeb Bush a fair hearing. I want to give Ted Cruz a fair hearing. But I'll say, if Donald Trump, if I see the fine print and see some of the finer, I've seen the broad strokes, I'd like to see some of the little tiny
Some of the finer sketch points.
What? What do you mean the finer?
Well, all right, so you've seen the broad strokes, you want to see the fine print.
That's what I want to say. I want to see the fine print, maybe, but I'll say this. Donald Trump tried to push this through the Congress of the United States of America. Let me tell you what, you might as well try to, well, I'll go ahead and say it. You might as well have eaten a block of cheddar cheese. Okay, and only cheddar cheese with no water, and then the next day try to push that out. You know what's going to happen, don't you? You're going to blood, you'll lose.
All right, fine.
But I can tell you.
All right, so you're saying that he wouldn't be able to do it.
I don't know. It was the kind of a man that Donald Trump is. What kind of a man is Donald Trump? What manner of man is Donald Trump? Can he push this through?
Well, I mean, look at Trump. You look at this guy's personality. Does he look like the kind of a guy that's going to work with Congress?
I don't know. Phil, I wouldn't make any judgments right away because, look, Trump is all this, and he's got a big fat bazoo on him. There's no question about it. But when that guy gets into Washington and he sees the lay of the land.
Hey, Phil, this is something you used to say. These guys talk one way on the campaign trail, and another way they become a president of the United States. You see.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying basically says that you have to modify a lot of your positions once you become a president.
Well, you say that, and I don't like it. And then the guy becomes president, and then it happens, and then I get upset. And guys like me, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Well, what about it?
What? Nothing.
Wait. You understand.
I know what you're saying, and I agree. That's what happens. But when it does happen, don't blame me. I voted for the guy because he said he was going to do something.
Even though you know that there's a chance he won't because of Congress and because what he sees is the realities of the job.
Exactly. And I'm going to still blame him.
All right, so that's what's wrong with this country right away. We got people who understand the job of the presidency, but once the guy becomes president and he can't fulfill all of their little promises and all their little wishes and pat him on the ass and comb their hair.
Now watch it, Phil. You're talking about grown adult voters.
Oh, I am? Pat him on the ass.
Hey, Phil, look, I mean, everybody knows how to I know what the game is. You know what the game is. I know what the job is, okay? But what is it to be a voter in America unless the guy gets into office and you can't bitch and complain and piss and moan and go, you know, I mean, that's fun, man. But look, when Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, if he becomes president of the United States, and I hope that I've endorsed him by that point, I will expect Donald Trump to do no less than to protect the native immigrant against these high-paid immigrants coming in from out of the country. make it more expensive for them, and make it more expensive for these companies to hire these people.
All right. You know what? I don't disagree with you. I like the idea, too. I like the idea of drawing from the domestic pool of workers. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But here's the thing, man. Donald Trump is going to have to deal with, not only with Congress, he's going to have to deal with business.
Get a load of Phil doing all this analysis.
Yeah, Phil, where did you learn all of this?
Yeah, Phil, isn't this why you brought me on?
Oh, well, excuse me.
No, but Sammy, I don't think anybody expects you to be talking.
Yeah, but Sammy, you know...
I'll take it from here, Phil. As I was saying...
Get out of here.
Well, you hung up on the guy right as he was going to be, you know, to be to be the...
Right as he was going to what?
Right as he was going to give the big payoff. He was going to say what you were about to say.
Yeah, what I was going to say was that Donald Trump is going to have to not only deal with a Congress, he's going to have to deal with business. This cat is going to have the business community of America right up his you-know-what. They ain't going to dig this.
Why not, Mr. Henry?
Why not, Mr. Henry? Because it's going to cost them more money, man. It's going to cost them more money. They're going to pay all that top-notch money to domestic guys. It's going to be, even though they're paying top dollar to people that they're bringing in from out of the country, okay, they're going to probably have to pay more for domestic people, because I'll bet you anything, there's going to be some training involved.
What? What are you talking about?
Why are they bringing these guys in from out of the country?
What, are you saying they're more skilled?
I think in some ways, yeah. I mean, look, they're paying top dollar for them. Okay, but that top dollar that they're paying for them may not be comparable to the top dollar they pay an American worker. Or is it that they're paying top dollar for them because they can't get anybody in America that can do the job?
Well, Phil, I think that is absolute... I mean...
Look, who wants to pick the lettuce? The Americans or the guys that are coming in from another part of the country, from another part of the world, is all I'm saying.
Say that again.
I'm not saying anything again. You guys know exactly what it is I'm trying to say. I'm saying, who's picking the lettuce?
Who's picking the foreign guy?
Right, because Americans won't do it.
Well, that's a very interesting thing for you to say. I mean, there was a time when Americans wouldn't do it. But I think if they opened those jobs up to Americans, Americans would take those jobs now. Right now, those jobs are filled by these migrants.
What do you mean, open them up to Americans? No, all you got to do is join the Farm Workers Union.
Well, you have to be skilled.
Yeah, you gotta be an apprentice, and then you gotta earn your union entity.
Oh, I see. You gotta learn how to pull a carrot out of the ground with real union skill. Is that it?
Well, I wouldn't be putting it down. I dare say I'm sure it is a very skilled job.
Yeah, it's a very skilled job. You gotta know how to crawl under barbed wire and swim across a river and outrun the border patrol. Yeah, that's the skill.
I don't say the same as Henry.
I don't think I even understand what I'm saying. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, General.
Yeah. You go ahead and lay down, Phil. Put a cold compress on your head. Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on the Podcast One. Yes.
Take it easy.